Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Anyone even casually reading the writings of our founding fathers cannot deny they believed in a living act of God who intervened into the affairs of men. He intervened when he saw it necessary. And there are many examples in the Revolutionary War or the War for Independence that proves this. But a student in today's public schools would not know any of that. Many probably can't even name the first president. I don't even know the reasons behind our War for Independence. Is there a deliberate effort to rewrite our nation's history, to remove all evidence that we are a nation which was founded upon the Bible and the founders of this nation were God-fearing men? My guest today is Dr. Rick Saccone, the former PA state representative and author of the recent book, Our Godly Heritage from William Penn to Donald Trump. Thanks, Rick, for being with us.
I'm happy to be on. Thanks for having me.
You're a prolific writer, and your expertise, from what I've gathered, from what I've read and stuff, is our nation's history. You know, so many of us don't understand or don't know what our nation's history. A lot of it's thanks to the public education system. But in the introduction of your book, you say, contrary to what we've been told recently, our history is by no means secular. It is rich with the influence of God's hand and God's word. His presence is apparent in the documents of our government, on the memorials we cherish most, in our government buildings, in our art, and in the words and writings of our greatest leaders. And that is very true, because what we've been told recently is that none of that's true. So what was the purpose of you writing this book?
Yeah, I mean, you touched on it right there. I mean, when I got to the state legislature, and I was hearing all these things about, you know, we can't say this, so we can't say that, we can't include God in this, can't include God in the public place. Mm-hmm. And I looked around our state capitol in Harrisburg, yeah. And we have over 50 references to God, scriptures carved in the walls, in paintings, all over our capitol. I'm like, wait a minute. People are saying, the secularists are saying we have to sanitize God from our public life, yet our capitol building is loaded with biblical references. And I started actually a tour to show people all these references. And I created a booklet up there to hand out to tourists when they come in, full-color booklet showing our religious heritage that's just in the Capitol alone. And I said, you know what, I'm going to go further than that. And I started doing the research, and I started looking around our country and our country's history and our nation's capital, and found hundreds and hundreds of examples of how God has always been part of our government. And we've been told that we're a secular government and God has no place in it, but yet God was there from the very beginning, even before our founding, going back to William Penn, and God is there today. God was there when President Trump swore his oath on two Bibles. Yep. So our president swore his oath on a stack of Bibles.
Yeah.
And, you know, we want to hold him to those standards. So God was there in the beginning, and he's there now. We want to keep him there. And we want to fight back against those that are telling us God cannot be and shouldn't be part of our government.
Absolutely. Now, why is it so important that we understand our godly heritage?
Because when people are trying to erase that, what you get is when you erase those values and those virtues that were part of our godly heritage, what our country was founded on, you get what we're having today. You get the chaos and the dysfunctional behavior that our culture is actually promoting today. Mm-hmm. And so we have to restore those values to restore our country. That's part of President Trump's Make America Great Again. Restore our country to the values that we were started with and the values that made us great and that we've kind of ignored and, mm-hmm. and we've kicked God to the curb. And I think people can see how much that's hurt us.
Oh, yeah. Anyone watching the nightly news or reading the daily newspaper can see that we're a nation in chaos. I think very few people understand or understood, at least, that part of President Trump's Make America Great agenda would include bringing back our values that we had in the past, that this nation had in the past. And, you know, it troubles me that so many times all that are in students' history books are the bad things America has done, you know, painting us as a terrible nation and not worthy of being loyal to. And that troubles me deeply, and that will have a negative impact on our nation's future unless we reclaim our godly heritage and rip out those the, you know, those portions of not literally, but, you know, make sure that history books are rewritten so that our true history is in place and not this effort by the left to rewrite our nation's history. That's
yes, and in addition to that, it goes back to our basic rights. Our rights come from God, not from man, and that distinction is so important. The founders knew that, and they talked about it over and over and over again, and some of those famous sayings, they reinforced it. If you go to the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C., you'll see Thomas Jefferson, one of his most famous sayings there is, God who gave us life gave us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we've removed the conviction that these liberties are a gift of God? Okay. So he tied our basic liberty to God, and he acknowledged that our liberties are a gift of God. And that's what we're doing today, is we're removing the conviction that these liberties are a gift of God. And if they're not from God, if they're from man, then those liberties can be taken away very easily.
Absolutely. And more we see the effort to really make government God. And as you're saying, that, of course, with government being quote-unquote God, then they are man-made rights or man-made gifts or whatever. And those can easily be taken away. All it takes is the writing of a new law or an executive order from a president, and then a certain rights can be taken away. And we need to realize that.
Absolutely.
Our rights are God-given.
We have such a need today to restore those rights and just educate people. People don't know. They've had two generations, now 50 years of being told that God is not a part of our government and shouldn't be part of our government. So people just take it for granted. And that's the truth, and it's not the truth. So we need to correct that. We need to restore our history, restore God to his rightful place in our culture. And it takes a lot of work because, especially our elected officials, they do not know that, and they're afraid to say it because they're worried about, you know, the blowback. I started the movement in Pennsylvania to restore our national motto, In God We Trust, to public buildings and our schools. And by the way, our national motto started here in Pennsylvania. It's a wonderful Pennsylvania history story. And if you want to know more about that, I encourage your listeners to go to ingodwetrustpa.org. I have a whole website set up just explaining that. It was started by our 13th Governor James Pollock during the Civil War, and it became our national motto, and you see it on our coins and on our dollar bills. But that started right here in Pennsylvania, and yet we're ashamed of it. We won't even post it. We don't even have it, except it is on the front steps of our Capitol in Harrisburg, chiseled in granite.
Right.
But our schools are afraid to put it up because they think they're going to be sued. This is our government motto, and the Supreme Court has ruled that it is fit for all government buildings, including our government schools.
Mm-hmm.
I encourage people to post our national motto and teach the story, the great Pennsylvania history story of our national motto. And we had some that did, but we had so many that were afraid because they don't know our history, and they've been told and they've been scared away by the ACLU and secularists and atheists telling them they can't do it.
Yeah, I've always wondered I kind of know, but if the ACLU had its way, that In God We Trust that you're talking about that's chiseled on that one column there at the base of the steps, if the ACLU had its way, that would be removed from the Capitol. There's steps there on the left-hand side, as well as, let me see, Peter Muhlenberg's, a portion of his prayers on the right-hand side going up those steps, and if the ACLU had its way, all that stuff, and the references, I mean, the Liberty Bell, it even has a scripture reference on it.
Yes, on the top of the Liberty Bell in big 3-inch letters is Leviticus 25:10, proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. If there ever was a notion of a separation of church and state, the Liberty Bell is our icon of our heritage and our history, and the founders put a biblical scripture engraved right in the top of that. So that should dispel any notion that there's a separation of God from our government and from our state.
Now, I know it's been placed in a pavilion now there in Philly to preserve it, to protect it, but is that scripture turned away so people can't see it?
No, it's right there. It's right on the front. You walk up to it, you can see it. You can get close enough to the Liberty Bell where you can clearly see it. I have a picture of it in my book.
Fantastic.
But, yeah, you can walk right up to it. If you get too close, the ranger will knock your hand away.
Yeah.
But there's a little rope around it. But, yeah, you can get close enough. It's in big enough letters you can clearly see it on there.
Good.
You know, if you walk up to the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., and you see Abraham Lincoln sitting there larger than life, if you look to your left, you see the Gettysburg Address. And if you go halfway or about three-quarters of the way down, you see those famous words, this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom. And I was debating an atheist in York one time, and he said, well, I said, you'd like to take that out of the Gettysburg Address, wouldn't you? And he said, yes, we should chisel that out, and we should cement it over. And I said, but Lincoln said it. And he said, but he shouldn't have said it. And I said, but he did say it. And he said, it doesn't matter. We should take that out. So you're absolutely right. If it was up to them, they would chisel out any reference to God. And I tell you this because as we sleep, they work night and day to remove every references of God from our public life.
Yeah, oh, yeah, there's always lawsuits out there threatening, or especially Christmas time and such as that, where municipalities and cities are attacked because they have a nativity scene. It's just, it's very, very sad. For
yeah.
sure. Now, in July 2013, you're visiting Carpenters Hall in Philly, which is located basically behind the Independence Hall there. And you were looking for, just tell us what happened in that visit to Carpenters Hall in 2013.
Yeah, before the Continental Congress met in Independence Hall, they met in Carpenters Hall, which is right behind it. So the first Continental Congress met there, and they had, during their first session, they prayed. It was the first prayer in Congress. Mm. And there's a huge painting made of that, commemorating that. It used to hang there in Carpenters Hall, and I used to take my students there for field trips and so forth. So when I was writing the book, my wife and I said, oh, I said, let's stop in Carpenters Hall. I want to get a picture of that painting, famous painting. And I walked in and I looked around and it was gone. And I asked the one of the workers there, what happened to the big painting of the first prayer in Congress? And they said, well, you know, we redid our displays, and it was kind of controversial. It had God in it and all that, so we took it down.
Controversial.
And that's exactly what I mean. They are trying so hard to erase any vestige of our godly heritage, even something as historic as that first prayer in Congress.
And who has made the word God or the name God controversial? I mean, you know, 50 years of revised history being taught to our kids in public school, but didn't it start before that? I mean, there was an incremental, like we see so many times, it's incremental. And when did it really all start?
Yeah, well, the left has been trying, you know, to erase God from the very beginning. They knew that the only way for them to succeed is to destroy our God, our allegiance to God, and all the things that come from that, the family unit, and all those types of things, marriage, those traditional things that were created by God to destroy them. So they've been working from the very beginning. They really made their progress in the 1960s, though, with several court cases that removed prayer in schools and so forth. That's when it started to slide. And once you did that, it was just a slippery slope. And it brings us all the way to what we have today. And to where the point is that people don't even know we have a history of God in our through our founding and through our founders and through all of our presidents and what they said and how they promoted God and what they did and how we used tax dollars to promote God and how we used tax dollars to send missionaries and send Bibles around the world and supply our troops with Bibles and so forth. We did that all the way up through World War II. So, you know, we have 200 years of promoting God as part of our government's responsibility. And somehow all of that in just a generation or two has disappeared.
Yeah, it just has disappeared. That's ridiculous.
You know, President Lincoln in 1863, he proclaimed a national day of fasting and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
He did nine of them during his short time in office. But the one in 1863, I think, is really... It tells something. It says, he said in there, it is the duty of nations as well as men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, as set forth in the Holy Scriptures and proven by history, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. Here is our president, here is our government, proclaiming a national fast and prayer day and telling us that it's our duty to depend on the power of God and to acknowledge him. Look how far we've come from that to what we have today.
Right, to where presidents are even afraid to mention God. You know, I'm thinking of Representative Stephanie Borowicz, who earlier this year opened the State House, the session, in prayer, and the controversy that she created by mentioning Jesus' name. I forget how many times now she mentioned Jesus' name in her prayer. But there was such pushback that, I don't know, it's just ridiculous what we're seeing. Is there any way, though, that we can... I know your book, wow, it's just excellent. I mean, you have, it's over, let me see, 200, almost 300 pages. And you have an appendix, and you have, I mean, just tons and tons of information. And, you know, it's documented. You're not just writing off the cuff. You have everything is documented and footnotes and everything. So there's no doubt that we have this godly heritage, none whatsoever. Is there any way that we can reclaim that? I mean, education, yes, and your book is a definite necessary tool to do that. But until we take back the public education system, can we educate in the right way when it comes to the history of this nation?
Yeah, a couple things there. You know, I could have made that book 800 pages easily,
probably,
but then it would have been too big and nobody would have bought it. But you're right. There's so much information out there. And that's why I wrote it, so people can use it.
Mm-hmm.
Go to your school boards. go to your local municipalities, make sure that they open with a word of prayer, post our national motto, start promoting God. You saw recently Sheriff Guy out there in Beaver County has "In God We Trust" on his sheriff's cars.
We actually hear
and I think we have six
too.
Counties in Pennsylvania now that do that.
Okay, good.
They may seem symbolic, but they're very important because they send a message to society that, yes, our government can promote God. People see it. They notice it.
Yeah.
And that's where you start, and you build on that until people start recognizing, oh, yeah, what do you mean there's a separate church? They say, well, I see it on our sheriff's car. If you go to the South Park Fire Department down here in Pittsburgh, they have "In God We Trust" on their fire trucks. We have over 900 municipalities. "In God We Trust America" is a foundation that goes across the country. We have over 900 municipalities now we're up to that have posted "In God We Trust" in their chambers there for clearly for everyone to see.
Right.
It's a way to start. It's a way to get the conversation going and saying, no, look, we believe in God. We believe in those values, and we're going to promote those values, and we have every right to.
Yes, we definitely need to be proactive because the ACLU and Freedom From Religion Foundation and all the other anti-God organizations out there, like you said, working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to remove all evidence that God was ever.
And here's what they do, Diane. I want your listeners to know this because there may be school board members or solicitors listening out there. For example, in our national motto, "In God We Trust," that's settled law. That can be posted in any government building. But what the ACLU will do is they'll frighten people. They'll send a letter saying, "We're going to sue you if you put that up or if you don't take it down." And what happens is elected officials get afraid and they cave in to the ACLU.
Yeah.
The fact is, no municipality has ever been sued for that. And if you would be, there's a number of organizations that would defend you free of charge. But they rely on creating fear and people caving into that pressure, but they will not actually sue because they know it's already settled law and they'll lose it. But they take the chance and they send these letters off to these districts telling them to do this or they're going to be sued, and the districts get afraid, and then they abandon God.
Yeah, you're very, very right on that because we don't know. Very, very few people know that it is settled law, and the ACLU depends upon that lack of knowledge in order to get their way.
Very proud of the Altoona School District recently posted "In God We Trust," and they fought back against them and stood up to them. So they're another success story in the state.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, we have quite a few. Well, even my local municipality here has "In God We Trust" posted because we had a campaign several years back now to get municipalities to post them as well as there in some school districts so here in the area. So, yeah, there's, you know, the ACLU's not said anything because, well, anyway, they're still up. but you know, this is very important that we reclaim our Christian heritage. And I know that you have visited, I think you said you're up to 76 countries now.
Yeah.
And, you know, comparing our foundings to the foundings of other nations that you've been in, compare the nations themselves. I mean, how their governments run, how the just the welfare of the people in those other nations that were founded on other teachings besides the teachings from the Bible.
Yes, well, you can see, and our country is very unique in the sense that it has this covenant with God. And by the way, our country was consecrated to God by George Washington on the day that he was sworn in. Remember, our capital was in New York back then.
Mm-hmm.
George Washington swore his oath on the Bible there and bent over and kissed that Bible and added to the oath, "So help me God," a tradition that has been handed down all the way up to Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did, most people don't realize, what he did after that was he marched a joint session of Congress up the street to St. Paul's Chapel, which is at Ground Zero where the towers fell.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a church service there, and they consecrated our nation to God in that St. Paul's Chapel. I've been to that chapel. By the way, when all those buildings fell all around it during 9/11, that building was untouched. It still stands today.
Wow.
And that's the building where our country was consecrated to God. And the pew that George Washington sat in is still there with his name on it. You can go there. So our country was founded on these principles like no other country ever in the world. And then, you know, I'll compare it to the other extreme. Many of your listeners may know that I spent a year in North Korea as a diplomat working on a nuclear power plant project. There is a total atheistic, totalitarian, communist country where even the name of God cannot be mentioned under severe punishment. And so you have a total different lifestyle where you see the misery of the people. And even there, though, I could tell you stories, and I think there's a couple of them in my book, There's a yearning for people to know about God. There's a thirst. While I was there, people knew I was Christian. They came up to me actually risking their lives just to mention to me or to give me a signal that they were underground trying to pursue a knowledge of God.
Wow.
It's an amazing story, even in the most totalitarian country, a dark and dreary place where the name of God cannot be mentioned. There is a thirst there for God and His saving Spirit all over the world.
Yeah, wow, fantastic. How can folks contact you and maybe get a copy of the book?
Yes, I have several Facebook pages. They're welcome to contact me on any of those Facebook pages if they just search me, Rick Saccone. I also have a blog, Veritas 007. They can find me on Veritas 007. I have an email, which is Rick Saccone, my name, at yahoo.com. They can email me there. Or they can go on Amazon and Barnes & Noble to find the book. It's there also. So
okay, so they can get it at Barnes & Noble or Amazon?
Yes.
They get the book. Okay, fantastic. Yeah, I do definitely encourage your listeners to get this book because I have several books that have various information about our founding, but this is all under one cover. Not only the information, the quotes, and such as that, but the documentation. Just fantastic. I do encourage that is our godly heritage from William Penn to Donald Trump, and we have to definitely become more educated on this in order to defend our godly heritage and to remind everybody of that. Thanks so much for being with us, Rick. I really appreciate, I love history, and I just hate seeing what's happening. I could see it happening when I was in elementary school back in the 60s. I could see it kind of creeping in, and that was the beginning of the assault on our history.
Diana, I'd just like to mention also that I do about a 35-minute presentation on our godly heritage. If your civic group or your church group or your patriot group wants Young and I to come out and speak, we've done that 82 times across this country, so we're happy to come and speak on that subject.
Okay, great. Okay, so you do have a 35-minute presentation that you wanted to give. That's fantastic. Okay, we will help get the word out about the book and about your availability to make these presentations. And again, appreciate all the work that you've put into re-educating us on our true history. Appreciate that.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, thanks a lot. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.